This morning we are looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47, Growing Christ Church. And as I mentioned, the verses speak to the title of our series, Growing Christ Church. And for most of us who have known the Lord as our Savior for some time, these verses also speak to us by way of a reminder. They're a reminder. There's many things in these verses that we are familiar with, and they are a reminder to us. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, he said, "I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them." Why? So that they may be continually applied and reapplied to our lives. We soon forget, and we often need to be what? Be reminded. I do, and I think I'm speaking for many of you as well. And things that we are here reminded of, as we see that at the birth of the church, these things are really foundational, and they're vital, and they are to our church today, to every church, and to the universal or the invisible church that is the greater church. All those who know Christ as Savior, they're still foundational and they're vital. Why? Because the Scriptures tell us that they are. How's that? Very simply, they're fundamental, they're vital, they're foundational, because the Scriptures tell us that they are. And as we know Christ and we grow and we care, we know that these things are indeed foundational and vital to our walk with the Lord as well. And so the question comes to mind, what is it that makes a local church effective? And what is it that makes a local church vital in a community? And so maybe the first question we need to ask is, so what is a church? And if we were to ask that question this morning and ask you to write out in a sentence or so, what is a church? It'd be interesting to know what kind of answers that would be noted. But even more so, if we were to ask this question out on the street somewhere, as people would pass by, what is a church? And I'm sure some of the answers would come back, a church is a building that events take place in. Drive down the road and then there's a church, and if they have a sign out front, it tells what time events take place inside that building. And some might, you know, that could be their first thought about what a church is. Others might say a church, well, that's an organization or an institution of some sort. Perhaps some, not much different than the Elks or the VFW or some other good group along the way, and but they're of a religious sort. That's a church, and for many, I'm afraid that their definition of a church would be something other than what God's Word describes as what the church is and what its function is, and something other than what is described in the New Testament, sadly. So what is a church? You know, we all know what it is to be born. We're here. If we weren't born, we wouldn't be. But we know what it is to be born. And the day we were born, we entered into a family. And a family we'd never met. We had parents we'd never seen. Perhaps siblings that we didn't know. All these things happened when we were physically born. You know, we lived for a time in our mother's womb, but we really didn't know our mother. We hadn't seen her before that day of our birth. And in reality, all of us had no control. We were born into it, and over time, we learned to know what it means to be a part of a family. I think we all could agree with that. And it was all of that was a result of a birth that placed us in a family. It was natural and it was immediate. Today we're in the womb and not knowing, not seeing, not hearing much. But then the day little Tyke guy or gal was welcomed into a family. Some of us remember those old days when babies were born and mom was in a room down the hall somewhere and dad and maybe a sibling were somewhere else, and then the word came down and said what? It's a boy, or it's a girl, and you know, and that's all you knew until it was presented to you. But all of a sudden there was a new member. A new member of a family. It was a very natural thing. And really, this is what the scriptures teach us concerning the members of God's family as well. It's immediate, and it's not natural, it's supernatural when we're born into God's family. It is the result of the Spirit of God's work in a person's life to bring about a new birth. Born, if you will, miraculously, born instantaneously into the family, into a new family, the family of God. And, you know, with brothers and sisters who we'd never really known before, particularly we didn't know them as real brothers and sisters in the faith, although we may have known some on a different level, in a different sphere, if you will. But it is the result of the spirits of God's work in a person's life that brings about a new birth. Born instantaneously into a whole new family with brothers and sisters who we've never met. A whole new network of relationships. And as the baby grows, so do we into our understanding of this new relationship as being a part of the family of God. So Christians born as spiritual infants, we all start to grow in what it means to be made a part of this family. Growing what it means to be a part of the church universal, and growing what it means to be a part of a local church. We all start out as spiritual infants when we trust Christ as our Savior. Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, he says, we are members of the household of God. You and me. God's Word says we're members of the household of God. This is what it means to be in the church. You read that same passage of Scripture from Ephesians 2. It says, we were foreigners, we were aliens, but now we are fellow citizens of God's people. We are members of God's household. This is what the church looks like. This is what it is. A group of people who are a member of God's household. A household of faith. There really is only one church, and in that one church are all those who are in Christ. God's Word, often you read through the New Testament, it speaks about those who are in Christ or in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ. You in Christ this morning? Can you say that? Either we are or we are not. You know, some here on earth today, you know, are a part of that church. And there are some in heaven today who are a part of that church. And there are some yet who have not come to know Christ as Savior, will one day be a part and forever be a part of that church. And so we call it an invisible church. There are some there, and there are some here, and there are some who will come along, who will be in Christ, through faith in Christ. We're a part of this church. We call it the universal church or the invisible church. There too is a visible church, of course, and we call ours what? Timber Ridge Community Church. And often we have visitors, you get to know them a little bit, you talk to them, and they say, well, you know, I used to attend, or you know, I grew up in, or I was associated with. I had somebody tell me the other day that you can't name very many denominations that they didn't spend some time in. They knew many of them in their life. Talking about the local churches, assemblies where they attended, and we trust that and they took part in, and they were followers of Jesus Christ that met and had fellowship with one another under those sort of umbrellas, if you will, along the way. So there is a visible church, and we gather here this morning, some claiming to be a part of the church, and some our claim needs to be tested not simply by our words, but our claim needs to be tested against the authority of God's word. You're part of the family of God, yes? Are you? How is it that you're a member of a part of God's family? How is it? Well, you know, it's like the definition of church. How is it you're a part? If that question were asked on the street corner, there'd be a lot of answers to that as well. Isn't that true? How is it that you're a part of the church or the family of God? How is it? You know, and it's not that we are personally present in a building. It's not that our names are on a list somewhere back in a filing cabinet in an office somewhere. That doesn't make us truly a member of Christ's church, does it? But our membership in a local congregation really means nothing if we are not first and foremost, what? A member of Christ's body. Doesn't matter. Your name is on a list somewhere, or mine. Or we associate with some gathering in some building somewhere. But if we're not first and foremost a member of Christ's body, the invisible church, that company of God's people, which took place as a result of a new birth, a miracle took place. You know, Scripture describes the church, describes it as I've mentioned some of these before. The church is the bride of Christ, a flock, a garden, a vineyard, a building, a body of which Christ is the head, and we are members. That's the church. We are a company of people made by the work of God's intervention. We are a company of God's people made by the work of God's intervention. Nothing we've joined or nothing we've done. And so from this, or because of this, we should then know how to conduct ourselves within the household of faith. Isn't that true? We've been made a part of the family of God through what Christ has done for us. We have come to Christ in faith, repentance, belief. And so being made a part of this family, of this household of God, we should know how we are to function, how we are to act, how we are to relate. And we find here in Acts, in these verses that I just read, just in a few verses, we look at the early church. And we learn so much in what recorded for us here by Dr. Luke. What is it they looked like? What was their relationship one with another? What was their habit? How did they look after one another? What were some of their purposes? What were some of their efforts? What did it look like? What were the results of some of these things? And we find it in these few verses that we read here this morning. And then we find many of these things enlarged upon and illustrated as we read through the record of the early church over time and how it grew and how it flourished, how it was tested, how it was persecuted, and how it grew in and through and because of really all of these things. Paul writes to a young pastor in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and we'll look at some of what he said to this young pastor again as we finish. He said, "I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. I write so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth." How is the church to conduct itself? Where do we go? Where do we look? What's the instruction and what's the pattern? How is the local church to be organized? What should be its priorities and what should be the emphasis? How are we to know and how are we to grow? That's a good question to ask, isn't it? As we read God's word. How are we to know? What are we to know? And how are we to grow? Individually and corporately, as a body of believers, as a local church, you and I, you know, it's not a denominational thing or a matter of preference or a matter of liturgy or past ways of doing things that have been passed along to us, but rather it's according to the pronouncements and the purposes that God has given to us in our Bibles. Isn't that true? How is it we're to know? We know through God's word. How is it we're to go? We find the instruction and the principles. Where? In God's word. That's where we go. In our Bibles. You know, there's no better place to look and to learn than at the birth of the church as we find it here in these first few chapters of the book of Acts. No better place to look and to learn than these first few chapters of the book of Acts. And so there's a clear pattern of priorities given to us here. And it's a pattern and practice that runs really all through the New Testament. In these few verses that we read this morning, a pattern and practices that run all the way through. And we look back through the history of the church through these 2,000 years and we find they haven't really changed. They may look a little different, but yet really the practices and the patterns that honors the Lord the most and causes the church really to grow and to be a great church in God's sight, they haven't changed. They haven't changed. And so as we look closely at these verses before us, I want us to ask two questions. First question I want you to ask of yourself, and the first one is does what we're reading here, what we are learning here, what we're being reminded of here, does that describe me? Am I the one here? Am I one here that Scripture is talking about? And the second question is, does this describe us? Is what we find in this early church. Does this describe us corporately? You and I together? And if not, what is it we need to do or become or embrace or include or exclude that moves us in that direction to be that church that God would have us to be according to His holy word? The fundamentals of the faith, if you will. What are the two questions? Does this describe me? The second question, does this describe us? You know, it's easy to sit and listen to things on a Sunday morning. It is. It's easy to sit there but if there is an application, then we've missed much of what God intends for us and what I believe God intends for us even this morning. If we're really just doing an introduction to these few verses that we'll conclude this chapter, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. We might call these Christian church basics. I go to a pastor's conference every May up in Cleveland, and it's called Basics. And I look forward to every year. And it's remind us as pastors, some 1,200 or so from across the United States and some from other places. I remember meeting a fellow from Ireland and another fellow from Australia who was there. Return to the basics of the things of God and the work of God. And here we find the basics of the church. How are we doing? How am I doing? How are we doing? And so these here in this verse, you know, we sit and we listen, but yet we need to make personal and corporate application to these things. And so these things described here had to these people who Peter preaches to here. They had accepted the message of the Lordship of Christ, that Jesus was the full and final revelation of God Himself. Those who He preached to, and these He describes, they had received the word that was proclaimed on the day of Pentecost. They had heard that Christ had been nailed to the cross, and that He had paid the just penalty for sins of men and women. It was a call by Peter on that day for those who knew themselves to be sinful to respond to the truth of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and He was a Savior from sin. And He called for a response. They responded even before He called, as we mentioned last week. Remember? They responded before he called. That's unusual. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And really, church membership begins here. Wherever we were, whatever we believed before, whatever the sin was in our lives, when we come to know Christ, we see our sin and we see Jesus Christ as a Savior for sin. Isn't that true? Is that what it means to be a follower of Christ? We see ourselves and we see that Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior for sin. Does that describe you? Verse 37, recall. Peter preached the gospel. And their response was, well, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter, in the next verse, he answered their question. He said, you need to repent. You need to change your mind about yourself and your sin and about this Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. And it changed your direction. Your life needs to change. And you'll receive the forgiveness of sin and the Holy Spirit. That was the two promises, wasn't it? And you'll receive forgiveness of sin in the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. From seeing and obeying what Christ had called for, we proceed as we follow the scripture here, we proceed along the journey of faith. We like newborn babies, we begin to grow how? We begin to grow spiritually. Trust Christ as Savior. Babies born. Babies born, all of us. We all started there. We start to grow. I told this story a few years ago, I remember. I'm going to tell it again because I think it fits. I recall there was a businessman who had a company, and they manufactured things, and they had equipment of various sorts, heavy equipment, very precise equipment, and one day something broke down. You need to find a machine shop to fix it so production could continue. It was something that just needed somebody who understand and could do something very precise. And so he heard about one particular machine shop that was very good, and he went there, and he asked for the owner, and the owner met him, and he told him his predicament. He brought along this piece of equipment that he needed fixed. The owner took him out into the shop, and as this businessman was led around, the businessman asked about the various machines and the various workers who were there, and the first person he pointed to, he said, what about that young guy over there? Would he be somebody? And he looked pretty young. And the machine shop owner said, well, that's Bobby. He's only been here a few years. But he's very careful. He's very meticulous. Over anybody in the shop, he would be the one I would trust with your project. So the business owner said, well, okay, who else you got? So they wandered around, and the owner picked the show, this one. He told about this guy, and he told about that guy. And then towards the back, there was another fella. And so this businessman who needed this piece of equipment fixed, he said, now that guy back there, he looks like he's been around a while. Like maybe he might be able to handle this. And the owner of the shop said, well, he said, I'll be honest with you. Kenny back there, He's been here 20 years. But honestly, he's had 1 year of experience 20 times over. Get the point? You know, and the reality is that there are some who name the name of Christ who are Christians. And rather than really growing and blossoming and dealing with things in their own life and reaching forward and being a part, and they're still somewhere in the early grades, even though they've been around a long time, a part of the family a long time. 1 year experience, 10, 20, 30, 40 times over. How sad. Where are you at? Where are we at? That's the questions, right? Where am I at? Where are we at? In regard to these things. And so from seeing and obeying what Christ has called for, we proceed along the journey of faith like newborn babes, starting out with milk and pablum and moving along to a little more hearty stuff, both in our understanding and embracing of the Word of God and in our work and in our relationships within the church and in our work and our testimony outside the church as well. Look at verse 41. Again, when we're looking at these early believers, they came to trust. What shall we do? Repent. Believe the gospel. Change your mind. So it said they accepted Peter's message. Those who accepted Peter's message were what? They were baptized. They were added to the number that day. They received each one the Spirit of God, we are told. Repentance and the Spirit of God. How did they become members of the church? First, by hearing the gospel as it was proclaimed, by responding to it by faith and obedience, and by declaring their submission and expressing their new found faith in the act of baptism. Isn't that what it says right here? And we find that all the way through the history of the early church. It's all here. How am I doing? How are we doing in regard to these things? What happened then gives to us the path of growth for those who came to Christ in faith. The path of growth. Look at verse 42. The path of growth, I'll say it again, for those and for us. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. If you don't have that verse underlined in your Bibles, you need to. I wouldn't object if you underlined it in your pew Bible. They devoted themselves. An effective church, growing followers of Jesus Christ, devote themselves to the effective, faithful teaching of the Word of God. Can I say that more plainly? They devoted themselves. An effective church, growing followers of Jesus Christ, devote themselves to the effective, faithful teaching, embracing, understanding of the Word of God. The Scriptures as they've been given to us. The apostles, they fulfilled their role. They fulfilled their role both quickly and effectively under God, didn't they? Christ had taught them for some 3 years. When he was taken up to glory and the Holy Spirit was sent, the work that he had trained them to do, they did it immediately, and obviously they did it effectively, and we are here today as proof of how effective it was. It was their responsibility to proclaim the truth as they had received it from Jesus Christ himself. And so these new believers were taught all that the apostles had learned from Jesus as the Spirit opened their minds to understand all that Jesus had done and all that Jesus had said. That's what the apostles taught. The Spirit of God opened their minds. And they were faithful to their call. They were effective in their call. in their work. And for us today, the effectiveness of the local church is directly related to the central place of the truth of Scripture as it is taught and proclaimed consistently, consecutively, humbly, and spiritually. You see that's listed first here in this list? They gave them, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What do we have before us here in the New Testament? The apostles' teaching. You know, we live in a time when the place of teaching in Scripture, you know, in many churches, is relegated to almost a secondary thing. I know a pastor in this community, and he was called to pastor a church. And they told him right off the bat, they said, well, we started a certain time, and 45 minutes later, we're done. It's in the bulletin. I've seen the bulletin. And we take the offering, we sing three songs, and we have a wonderful choir. And they sing sometimes some pretty involved things. And then we read Scripture. And then we pray. And then at quarter to 10, we will be done. And so I remember him saying to me, he said, I was used to 20 or 30 or 40 minutes, and now I have 15 on a good Sunday, and that's pretty hard. Many churches, if the sharing, the teaching of the Word of God, if it's not relegated to a shorter and shorter amount of time, it's often dismissed or disregarded, its authority questioned corporately, and when it's disregarded and questioned corporately, it's disregarded or questioned individually by those who tend and hear as well. Sadly, so much of that today in churches, and many of them for many, many years were strong and growing and faithful to the Word and the proclamation of the Word of God. How sad it is. From time to time I hear statistics that in our country, how many churches every week and every month and every year are closing their doors, and I hear another statistic of how many new ones or how many are expanding, and the closing far outweighs the growing. And how shameful. And you have to wonder that in part, if not in great part, many of them, because making the very Word of God, the power of God unto salvation, is being compromised or put in second place behind a whole lot of other stuff. The centrality of the Word of God is what we find here in as Luke records this for us. And as we follow through the book of Acts, we will look to the growth of Christ's church, that we can learn and we can grow as we study this. And we will not miss the fact that it was a time of strong, effective, and authoritative preaching of the Word of God. We've all heard of the Dark Ages. Spiritual Dark Ages. Then came the Reformation. How did the Reformation come about? Through the authoritative, faithful preaching of the Word of God. You read the history of our country, and back in the 1700s, when real revival swept across the East in the colonies and then beyond into the Indian communities. How did that be? How did that happen? There was a strong preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And a lot of stories flowed out of that, and some of them I could tell. Faithful to the Word of God. And I would just tell you this morning that their time is gone. I am committed, and I believe that we as a church are committed to the teaching and the proclamation of the divine Word of God. That thus saith the Lord, is what the Spirit of God honors.
Amen.
We want to be, I want to be faithful to that. You know, God speaks to us today as He did in the early church through His authoritative word, teaching us, encouraging us, growing us, chastening us, nourishing us, rebuking us, changing us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How does He do that? Through His Word. Through His Word. The first mark of an effective local church fellowship, devotion to the inspired Word of God. The first mark of an effective local church fellowship, devotion to the inspired Word of God. I want to read a couple verses and we're done. 1 Timothy, if you want to turn there with me. 1 Timothy, that's to the right in your Bibles, if that helps anybody. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. The Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor as he pastors a church, exhorting him both in his conduct and in his function as pastor, teacher of a church. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. Are you there?
Yeah.
Thank you. We need a representative, don't we? Yeah. Paul tells young Timothy, this is sometime later now. The church has grown. Churches, local churches have been established. Pastors, elders, looking after these churches. Verse 11, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Prescribe and teach these things. What things? Verse 12. Let no one look down on your usefulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. Show yourself to be an example of those who believe. Until I come, do what? Give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Verse 15. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Is your progress in the things of the Lord evident? How are you doing? How are we doing in regard to these things? That's the question. And what do you and me and we need to do? What do we need to embrace that we might be more faithful to the things that cause us to grow and to abound? God's Word said we'll always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding. Does that look like you? Does that look like me? Does that look like us? I ask myself this. 2 Timothy, over a book, chapter 4. With this we close. 2 Timothy chapter 4, first couple verses, 1, 2, 3, 4, all right? 2 Timothy 4, again, an elderly pastor to a young pastor, pastoring a church, believers, some newer, some older. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearance in His kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers according to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. Verse 5. But you, Timothy, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. You see the work that he was called to and how it goes out and how it pulls in and how focused it is and the purpose? It's pretty clear, I think. Now, this group's going to look a little different than that group, but yet the focus, the fundamentals, the foundation, the purpose is really all the same, isn't it? According to God's Word, it is. God speaks to us as He did in the early church through His authoritative word, teaching and encouraging and all these things. Again, the first mark, according to Scripture, of an effective local church fellowship, devotion to the inspired word of God. And so next week, Lord willing, as we gather these same verses, we will learn the early church was, let me give you a four-point outline for next week. The early church was a learning church. The early church was a loving church. The early church was a worshiping church. And the early church was an evangelistic church. Those four things in these couple of verses, we see it there. It runs down through. Learning, loving, worshiping, evangelistic church. Let me quote here a man that some of you know the name. Many of you may not. John Stott. How many know the name John Stott? Good. John Stott was, he died I think in 2011. He was a British pastor of the church in a group that certainly the denomination had gone south, for want of a better way to put it. But he pastored a great church. And he wrote great books. If you want to read some good Christian sound books, they're deeper, but they're very readable. Look for John Stott. John, what, R.W. or something, but John Stott, you'll find him. Go on Google and look up quotes by John Stott, and it'll warm your heart. It'll challenge your heart. But this is something he said relating to this, and with this we do close. Listen to this. I had to write it down. The Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost opened a school in Jerusalem. Its teachers were the apostles that Jesus had appointed, and there were 3,000 pupils in kindergarten. Don't you like that? I love that. You know, the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost opened a school in Jerusalem. His teachers were the apostles that Jesus had appointed, and there were 3,000 pupils in kindergarten. That's John Stott. You know, that's how he would put stuff. And again, I challenge you to Google Stott, John, and it'll challenge and warm your heart. Well, our time is gone. It's been good to be in God's house. We didn't get very far, but that was my purpose. I got a whole bunch more notes at home, but I figured I'd be good to get through this morning, in all honesty. And it's my heart's desire, and I believe all those who know Christ and would call Timber Ridge Community Church their home. We want to be a great church in God's eyes. Is that your desire? I want us to be a great church in God's eyes. Here's the outline. It's right here. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning and so much in these few verses. Oh Lord, teach us, show us, lead us, convict us, change us, empower us, send us. Help us, Lord, that we might love and embrace your word, that it might be, that our hearts would be open, what we hear. And Lord, help us each one to devote ourselves individually, taking time, making the effort to be students of your holy word. Thank you for our time together this morning. We give you praise and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.